Radio Pulpit, 657 AM, your daily companion.
Hello, hello everybody. Hello family. Greetings in the wonderful name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It is a Friday, you know. Every Friday is from 10 till 12. We are right here on Radio Pulpit doing your marriage counseling show, Intimate Moments, with me, Amanda Makabuka. Thank you so much for joining us. Wow, and that was a beautiful song welcoming us here. Modimo Watsohle by Muhluri Baloyi featuring Lufuno, right here on Intimate Moments. As I've said, it is a marriage counseling show. We discuss marriage issues. We're not only based on married people. Specifically, tonight's show is focused on those who are looking forward to getting married, who wish they would get married one day. So if you admire marriage and you want to get married, this show is for you. There's a lot we're going to discuss here. The Lord is going to help us so much. It's a Friday. You have been busy the whole week and now you are just relaxing. Please invite your friends, your family, go on those WhatsApp groups and tell them to tune in on channel 882 on your DSTV. Or you can stream live to www.radiopulpit.co.za. Before I tell you what we have on tonight's show, let us quickly go to a song by Helen Focal saying, Konke kuyenzeka, nasemtshatweni wakho, trust God and believe that all things are possible.
Let Christ inspire your day. Radio Pulpit 657 AM, bringing the Word of God to you.
At Radio Pulpit, we are dedicated to delivering content that inspires and uplifts, guided by faith and truth. Our commitment is to provide quality programming for our community. We are here to serve with content that speaks to the heart, sharing messages of hope and love every day. If you believe we haven't followed the broadcasting code, you can contact the Broadcasting Complaints Commission of South Africa. Visit www.bccsa.co.za or call 011-326-3130 for more information. Thank you for listening to Radio Pulpit, your trusted voice in faith and community.
Radio Pulpit, 657 AM. True, authentic, Christian Radio.
Thank you so much for joining us right here on Intimate Moments with me, Amanda Makabuka, the marriage counseling show. I'm not alone tonight. I have beautiful people in front of me, Pastor and Pastor Mom. I'm going to call you Pastor Mom. Hey? How are you guys?
Okay.
Welcome to Intimate Moments.
Oh, thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having us.
Yes, we are very excited and we thank God for the opportunity that we have to be here.
Yeah,
tonight.
We thank you guys for coming and accepting our invitation to come and allow God to use you in what you are called for.
Absolutely.
I believe you are called for the marriage space, eh?
Yes.
One of your ministries.
Absolutely.
That we are very passionate about.
Yeah,
yes.
Hey? Yes. And I was just sharing with you guys offline and I was saying my husband referred me to you guys, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't know you and I was like, oh, where have I been? Because I have seen...
You see what marriage does. You see the beauty of marriage. When you're with the right person, he'll direct you to the right people.
Amen. For those who don't know you, please introduce yourselves.
All right. My name is Pascal Frank Lombwa. I'm a pastor.
Mm-hmm.
Affectionately known by those who know me as Pastor P.
Okay.
And I'm not here alone, obviously. I've got my wife here.
Yes. Anna Luambo here. Mm-hmm. I'm also a servant of God.
Yeah. Mm. We do ministry together.
We serve together, y'all. Yes.
And I love that. Hey, I see you guys there on the socials. You're always together. Business, everything.
It is so funny when I rock up somewhere alone, people come and say, why are you alone?
Yeah. Like, and it's supposed to be like that.
You know?
Yes. When we talk about the two shall become one. Mm. So
even if I roll alone, I'm never alone, right?
Yeah.
But yeah, we do ministry together. We do business together.
Mm-hmm.
We do almost everything together.
Wow.
And so we've had one of the questions that pops up is always, don't you guys get tired of each other? Don't you get bored of each other?
Seeing each other every day, each other's face.
Yeah. You know, but when you're married to your best friend, it makes it so easy to work with him and do ministry together, you know.
Yeah. Wow. And it's beautiful to watch. Eh? A very encouraging. I'm sure a lot of people who are not married yet are like, oh, I want, those are my couple goals. it's very beautiful.
It's the grace of God. It is definitely the grace of God.
So how long have you guys been married for?
We've been together for 20 years.
Wow. Yeah, this marriage journey started 20 years
20
ago.
20 years ago.
And we've never looked back. Yeah. The only regret that sometimes I have is, man, I should have married her sooner.
Well, we're here now. Yeah.
Three children.
Yes.
Initially, we wanted two. we're going to have two because we wanted even numbers.
Okay.
Yes. You know, we wanted two, but carry on.
And then during COVID, you know where this is going, right? During COVID, we were home and there was nothing much to do. She was always in my space. And I'm like, you know what? Maybe one more wouldn't hurt. So during COVID, we had our last born.
Yes.
Who is 4 years old, eh?
Yes, he's four.
He's four years old. Yeah.
And the factory's closed. Yes.
The factory's closed. But
you can work on that even number you wanted, hey? But yeah.
You know what? Eventually, we understood, you know, through revelation that three is actually not a bad number. This, the number of Trinity. So so we're stopping at three.
Yes. And we are in agreement.
And we're in agreement. Yes. You know, Amanda, school fees.
I know.
It's not cheap.
Yeah.
You know?
Satura school fees.
Sure. Imagine your four-year-old now, when she or he is a tertiary.
Yeah.
How is it going to be? Wow.
Yeah. And there's a huge gap between the firstborn and the lastborn.
Okay.
You know, so we're like, nah, it's okay. For now, we're done. Now let's pursue ministry and business. We're good.
Kingdom business. It's all about kingdom business. So, we do business together, like you said. And then we do ministry before and after I do. Mm-hmm. I think that's the one you saw on the socials. And God has been good to us.
Absolutely.
Wow. So now tell me, why is it so important for couples to have serious conversations before they get married?
I love that question. You're saying for couples to have serious conversations. And the problem we face is that couples do not have serious conversations. We usually tell young people, when you want to date or you want to get married and you go out for a date, don't ask each other, what is your favorite color? And then you're like, my favorite color is red. Oh, me too. We're compatible. No.
And your favorite movie, holiday destination.
Those things are cute, but you need to have serious conversations. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And it is important to have serious conversations so that you can clear out expectations. Because we believe that unrealistic expectations in marriage can lead to huge fights in marriage. So we need to speak about that so we know what to expect in marriage, what to expect from my wife or my future wife, what to expect from my future husband. So serious conversations need to be had. And we'll touch on that, you know, during our conversations.
Also, just to add on that, serious conversations, I think they also help you identify whether you should actually get married to the person or not. So it is there where you will know that we are compatible, we are aligned, we are, you know, the vision here is the same or not. So that is why it's so important for single people, while they're single, to ask those questions, the right questions. Those questions will help you to know whether the person is the one or not.
You know, we get married for purpose. So how do I know the purpose without discussing purpose? How do I know the purpose without having a serious conversation?
Yeah.
There's no seriousness in knowing what is your favorite restaurant.
Yeah.
That is not, that's nothing to do with purpose.
Yeah.
So if we're gonna, if we marry for purpose and we marry for destiny, then we need to understand and talk about serious, serious topics, so that we see whether our visions are aligned, our purpose is aligned, or our destiny is aligned. So that's why we need to have those conversations.
And I think it's going back to first knowing yourself.
Absolutely.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Oh, yes.
Because how can you know your purpose if you don't know yourself? And then what questions are you will you be asking if you don't know your purpose?
And not only you know, knowing yourself, but knowing what you want.
Yeah.
Because people get married for the wrong reasons.
Yeah.
So it's when you start now having those conversations and you start unpacking certain things, then you'll be able to identify that, you know what, it's either I'm not ready or the person that I want to commit to is not ready. So those important conversations or serious conversations can avoid a lot of divorces. Avoid people getting into marriage and then there's problems and now they have to divorce.
Yeah.
So we're absolutely very important.
Wow. I came across your post. I know you have an upcoming event.
Yes.
And I saw things you should know before saying I do.
Oh, yes.
And there was also after I do.
The ministry itself is called Before and After I Do.
Okay.
Okay, and then the theme for this particular conference is things that I should know before I start.
Okay,
yes.
What inspired that topic?
Oh, you know, we deal with a lot of young people, single people, and also what we've realized is people get into marriage, and when things don't go the way that they thought. It would go. Then it's like, oops, I didn't know that marriage was like this.
Yeah.
So they have skipped that part of preparation where you learn or you get to know certain things about marriage before you go into them. But people don't do that preparation before. They skip the preparation phase and they rush straight into marriage without doing their research to say, what is it that I should know about this institution called marriage? So people take marriage lightly.
Yeah.
You should first understand, what am I getting myself into?
Yes.
And you need to equip yourself so that you can give the best in that marriage. So that's why the theme came, so that people can be aware that marriage is not the wedding day. It's not the dress. It's not the venue. It's not the color scheme, the bridesmaids and all that. Marriage begins after all of that. But now the question is, do you know about this marriage? Are you prepared for it? Are you equipped for it?
Yeah.
So people should know what they're getting themselves into.
Absolutely.
Wow. Yeah.
I think, you know what, it's so sad that marriage is so important, but we don't take marriages as seriously as we take our studies, for example. I'll give you a scenario. You walk into an office, you see a doctor's office, and the doctor who's about to consult tells you that, listen, I've never gone to school, but I've been watching a lot of YouTube videos. I think I will find out what is wrong with you. You look on his wall. There's nothing to say, the university of this or that.
No, he says, certificate.
Listen, there's no certificates, no degrees, nothing. He says to you, don't worry, I've been watching YouTube videos. I can handle this. Will you trust him? No. You will not trust him. Why? Because they're not prepared for what they're about to do.
We experience. Trust
credibility is a byproduct of experience. And a lot of experience. And we cannot do that if you didn't go to school and study. So we prepare for our careers. We even prepare to get on the road to drive.
True.
You go through preparation and until you get your license. You prepare for so many things. And then after preparation, then when you pass, you get your diploma, your degree, your certificate. After you pass your driver's test, you get your driver's license. But in marriage, it's the only institution where you get your certificate before you actually pass the test.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
So we are getting in not knowing what we're getting into.
Mm-hmm.
It is like someone who's on the road and saying, it's my first day, but we'll figure it out. No, you don't figure it out.
Sure.
And that is why there are so many divorce rate is so high in the world today.
Sure.
And we identified that. Mm. My wife and I, we sat down and we saw how many young people came to us asking for, you know, for counseling.
Yeah.
I want to get married, but is this the right person for me? I want to get married, but I'm looking for someone who can support me financially. I'm looking for someone who is well built. I'm looking for someone. And we're like, you're looking for the wrong things.
Yeah.
You're looking for the wrong things.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, you want someone who has money.
Mm-hmm.
But who told you that marriage is built around money?
Mm-hmm.
You want someone who is well built. But do you know that beauty can fade?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Then over a decade ago, we started the ministry called Before and After I Do. So before is a preparation for marriage.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because we have so many misconceptions about what marriage should be.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that is why, you know, I was reading some celebrity who divorced her husband. She said, I woke up one day and I thought, nah, I deserve better. How do you just wake up and decide I deserve better? So before you went in, you didn't think you deserved better before you went in. You woke up one day. She literally says, I woke up one day, I looked at him and I thought, I deserve better. And I'm like, that's the problem right there. We don't know what we are getting ourselves into. And when we get in, we're like, no, this is not what I signed up for. I want out. And the world and the devil have made divorce so easy nowadays. After a month, people are divorcing.
Sure.
After a year, people are divorcing. And we said we need to put a stop to that. And where do we start? Preparation before marriage.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
And there's so much that goes into that preparation stage. And we need to know, especially us as Christians, that this institution was established by God.
Yes.
So he is the go-to person.
Sure.
You know, before you can enter into it, you need to seek the counsel of God to say, God, you created this. Teach me, show me. That is why we also talk about spiritual preparation, which is so important, where you need to say, God, here are my, you know, this is what I'm looking for. But what do you say? But a lot of young people, they just go on what they're looking for. They get into marriage, it doesn't work. They're like, but God, you've left me. God, what's happening? But you never went to God in the first place to say, God, is this the direction that you want me to take?
Yeah.
God, is this the person that you see me with? So in that spiritual preparation, you need to be close to God. So your relationship with God needs to be firm. So that when God speaks to you about the person that you are with, that you can hear him. Because sometimes you say, God, is he the one? God speaks, but you don't hear God. You go according to what you want. So that spiritual preparation, being one of them, is so important before marriage.
Sure.
Which is what a lot of people skip.
Yes.
They skip the preparation time.
For me, I would say that's the most important one.
Spiritual preparation. Spiritual preparation.
Get close to God so that you may understand you. I love what you said. You said you need to find you, to know you first. And that is so true. But there's no way you can know you if you don't know God. If you are made in the image and likeness of God, then getting closer to God allows us to not only know God, but know us as well. And you know, the sad thing is that people who get married and discover themselves in marriage, and that is dangerous. That is dangerous. If you discover that you have an anger issue in marriage, it might be too late. It is when you've stabbed someone, you've hit someone, then you discover, you know,
Emma, is this me?
Is this me?
This is not me.
This is the first time I do it. You know?
We hear a lot of those things.
So you didn't know all this time that you had an anger issue? You didn't know that you were an impatient person? You didn't know that you were an unforgiving person? And all these are things that we have to deal with, and hopefully we'll dive in deeper as we go on.
So we are saying, as a young person who's looking forward to getting married one day, build that relationship with God. Very important.
God needs to be the foundation.
We say singleness is not a curse. It's not a curse.
Definitely.
Unfortunately, society has branded it as a bad thing when you're single. And your parents will come and ask you when you're 23, 24, 25, do you have someone? When are you getting married? When are you? And society puts so much pressure on us to get married. while we should put pressure on the readiness process. Singleness is not a curse, but it is a time or a season for you to know God, to know yourself, discover yourself, work on yourself, so that when you get into marriage, you are a product that is complete.
Wow.
Radio Pulpit is more than just a radio station. We're a community. For over 40 years, we've been a trusted Christian voice, bringing God's word, encouragement, and hope into homes and businesses across South Africa and beyond. As a community radio station, we depend on your praise, support, and partnership to continue broadcasting life-changing content. Together, we can build families, equip young leaders, and share Christ's message with the nation. You can support Radio Pulpit through once-off donations by way of EFT payment, Zapper and SnapScan, monthly debit orders, or even by leaving a bequest to ensure that this voice of hope continues for generations to come. Visit www.radiopulpit.co.za for banking details and QR codes. Stand with us, because Radio Pulpit needs you to survive and thrive.
Do you need prayer? WhatsApp your name and your prayer request to 082-657-2729. And our care center will gladly contact you to pray for you.
Discover an abundance of life. 657 AM.
Oh, yes, this is Intimate Moments. We're talking about marriage. We are focusing on the singles ones today. It's your day. It's your day. Take out that notebook and make sure you write down everything that you would want to know, so that when you get there, you know what you want.
You know what you're getting,
you know
yourself,
what you're
into.
Getting yourself into.
Yes.
Yep. You know what you're looking for.
Yeah.
We're talking about things you should know before saying, I do. Mm-hmm. I do. Till death do us part.
Oh, yes.
There's no saying, I want to pause. I want to take
there's
a break.
There's no off-ramp.
No.
You keep going.
If you're in it, you're in it for good.
Yeah. Yes. Decision.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Now tell me, what should individuals know about themselves before committing to someone else? There are those things that you must know about yourself.
Well, we always say that the single season, it's a season, right? It's not permanent. It's just a season. It's a season of self-discovery. It's a season where a lot of people are saying, I'm looking for the one. I'm looking for the right partner. But we always say, are you the right partner?
Yeah.
Are you the right person? So it's a season of self-discovery where you need to look at yourself. It's a season where people can discover that, you know what, there are certain things I need to work on myself, so that when I get in the marriage, I can give the best of myself to my partner. I believe that you owe them that much.
Yes.
To work on yourself. Imagine if your partner works on them and you work on them. When you come together, then you are both complete. A lot of people say, I'm going to go into marriage because I'm looking for somebody who's going to complete me because I am lonely. Already that loneliness is a problem. Why are you lonely?
Yeah.
Why do you feel that you need another human being to complete you? So those are the things, the questions that you can ask yourself. And from what you're answering, you can be able to detect that I need to be working on this. Because you should go into marriage whole, not somebody completing you. You should go into marriage 100%. Yeah. But if you feel that I'm not 100%, I'm still missing something. Why are you missing something? What is causing that? Is it maybe you have not forgiven or moved on from a previous relationship? Has it left you wounded, bruised, and now you have a gap where you feel like you need another human being to bring healing? I feel like sometimes we put on the responsibility of the Holy Spirit on other people to heal us.
Yeah.
Your partner is supposed to heal you of your wounds that you did not take time to work on.
Sure.
Your partner supposed to, you know, fix you. No, you should be fixed first. You need to identify, do I need counseling? Do I still need to be delivered from something? Maybe I still need to deal with my anger issues. You know, I don't forgive easily. You know, you need to identify that those things. And it takes honesty, being honest with yourself to say, I'm struggling with this. because it's better for you to deal with them outside of marriage than before, because it's more difficult because you are in marriage, because now you are with somebody else. Mm-hmm. But you need to sit down to say, okay, why do I have anger issues? Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's birthed out of situations where maybe your upbringing is a problem. Mm-hmm. Maybe your parents were not there for you, and you feel that gap and you have that anger, and now you go into marriage and now you let it out on this person that is there to love you, but you don't see that because you failed to work on those things. So it's definitely a period of self-discovery and identifying the things that you need to work on. If it's anger, work on it before. If it's you are unable to trust because of past relationships where you were disappointed, deal with that trust issue, unpack it, and see how best to get help. If you need to get prayed for, if you need counseling, you need to talk about it so that you let go of all the baggage before getting into marriage, because a lot of people drag that baggage in the marriage.
Sure.
Absolutely. I think that, you know, when we speak about why it's so important, the single season, it is also, you know, when we read the Bible says that God says it's not good for man to be alone. He didn't say it's not good for man to be lonely. Adam might have been alone, but Adam was not lonely. Why was he not lonely? Because of the personal relationship that he had with God. And that is why we say the first thing is spiritual preparation. When you are close to God, there's no way where Adam says, Lord, I need someone.
I'm lonely.
He was okay. He was living his life. But God said it's not good for him to be alone. In my plan for the world, I need to bring in someone else. He was so when you are single and you say, I want to get married because I'm lonely, you have a problem. Loneliness is a problem. It is a spirit that need to be cast out. You need to deal with it before you get into marriage. I usually say, and I will say it again, that there are people who are married and are lonely in marriage. You can be in the same bed with your husband or your wife, but you are lonely next to someone. Therefore, you can have people around you but feel lonely. So loneliness is a state of mind. It is a spirit that needs to be dealt with. If you get married because you are lonely, you will realize that you are still lonely in marriage, and you will come out to say, let me find someone else who can complete me. That's where the completing comes. I love what my wife says, that no one should, you should never put the burden on someone to complete you. Only God can complete you. And you can be complete before marriage. You know what I mean? We usually use examples of cups, and we say, you know what, we come into marriage and here's the wife, she's 50% full. And she's saying, I'm looking for someone to complete me. Now she marries someone who is 20% full. And she puts the expectation on him to complete her. Now he takes his 20% and he gives himself to please this woman and pours into her. Now she's 70% full, but she's not satisfied because she's not full. But what you've done now is you've left the other one who was 20% full. Now he's
empty.
He's done. And he will be frustrated and say, you know what? I'm in this marriage. I'm putting everything. I've poured out my heart. I work. I do this and I do this. But I'm not getting anything back. But if I come in full and you come in full, that's how we can say we complete each other. 100% can complete each other. But when you expect someone to complete you, you are taking from them, and how do they refill? The season of singleness or singlehood, whatever you want to call it, is a season where you discover yourself and work with those things. But over and above that, be transparent with yourself. Don't be in denial. Do not be in denial. Discover, what do I need to work on? So for example, if you know that you are not a patient person, let me tell you, marriage requires a lot of patience.
It will test your patience.
It will test your patience. So when you are still single, start working on it. If you know that you can't, you know, when your parents, you're still staying at home, and when your parents tell you that we'll get you something on the 30th, by the 15th you're getting upset, you're throwing tantrums, you know that you're not a patient person. When you're not getting your way, you get upset. Well, listen, in marriage you will not always get your way. So work on that impatience.
Now tell me, how can you tell if you're emotionally ready for marriage?
That's a good one. Because we also speak about marriage preparation. I mean, mental or emotional preparation.
I think when you get to a point where you are able to put your partner's needs before yourself.
Okay.
I think when you are able to sacrifice certain things for somebody else, when you are able to forgive, then know that you are ready, emotionally ready for marriage. Mm. And also what we just touched on now, when you feel that you are content, you are happy on your own, you are 100% full, I believe that you are ready for marriage because you know that you're going in it not looking for a 20%, a 30% from somebody else. Mm. But you go in knowing that I'm complete.
Mm-hmm.
I think you are definitely ready for marriage. But marriage is all about sacrifice.
Mm.
If you're not a person that can sacrifice, you will not survive in marriage.
Sure.
Because you will get to a point where you want your way, but your partner wants this way.
Mm-hmm.
If you're not able to meet each other halfway, to sacrifice, then you will not make it in marriage.
Mm.
So unless you get to that point where you're like, you know what, it's okay. My needs after, your needs before. If you are able to do that for another person, then you are ready for marriage. If you're able to forgive, if you're the person that holds on to grudges, you never let go of things, you will not make it in marriage.
Sure.
But when you get to a point where you are able to forgive someone else, to let go, totally let go, then you know that you are ready.
Wow.
When you are at a point where you know that you are ready to die to self, die to your own desires.
Every day.
Die every day.
Sure.
And this goes back to now our relationship, the relationship between Christ and the church, because that's what we need to emulate in our marriages.
Yes. Yes.
That's how we need to walk in our marriages. And what did Christ do? He sacrificed so much for us. Himself for us. Now, are you able to die every day? Are you ready to die every day? Are you ready to even wake up next to the person that you're upset with and still want to be in it and still want to be there because you know that I'm here to stay in it? What would Jesus do? What would Christ do in this situation? Are you able to sacrifice or get to that point where you love, sacrificial love? That's what we speak about. Where you are able to sacrifice. It hurts, but you're saying it's okay. I'm here to fix it. I'm here to serve, not to be served.
Not to be served.
People get into...
Not to be given.
Exactly. Yeah. People get into marriage thinking, oh, he's going to do this for me or she's going to do this for me. Or no, Christ didn't come here to say, I'm here, I'm the king, do things for me. You know, but he came being Christ.
For God so loved the world that he gave. He didn't love the world and say, okay, let me see what I'm going to get.
Yeah.
No. He loved and he gave.
Mm.
And
he
gave without an expectation.
Exactly.
When we must understand that marriage is not about what you can get out of it, but what you can give into it.
Yes.
So when we both get married thinking, how can I make this better? How can I make her happy?
Oh,
how can I make this? And she's thinking, how can I make him happy? How can I? We always have, we have each other's
interest at heart.
At heart.
Yeah.
And that is what Jesus did.
He did exactly that.
Even when it was hurting, emotionally, he was ready for it.
Yeah.
We're talking about emotional readiness.
Emotionally,
he was ready. And that's why he said, Father, forgive them.
When
you are emotionally ready for marriage, you'll be able to forgive.
Yeah.
Sure.
Even when it hurts.
Yeah.
You're like, I can't believe she did that to me. But I'm going to forgive. That is emotionally, emotional maturity that is required for a successful marriage.
Wow. I know a lot of people, we all go through traumas.
Yeah.
Why is it important for you to heal before getting into marriage?
Listen, you know, it is so
unfortunate.
There's
something that my husband says very well.
It is so unfortunate that you will get hurt before you meet, I'm going to use John. Before you meet John, you were hurt by Philip. But you did not heal from Philip. Philip hurt you. John had nothing to do with it. He wasn't there. Philip hurt you. But because you did not heal, you are going to bleed on John.
Yeah.
Who had nothing to do with it. Philip is the one who cut you. Now you are bleeding. You have not healed from that wound. You did not treat the wound. Now you get with John, who had nothing to do with it, and you are now bleeding on John. Can you imagine the consequences?
Sure.
Hurts people hurt people. When you are a hurt person and you have not dealt with your hurt, you will hurt somebody else.
Sure. Mm.
We just came back from a men's conference where I was ministering, with other ministers and pastors. It was so sad and heartbreaking to see men, 40, 50, 60 years old, who were broken. And they cried. And you're like, sure. Well, let's trace it back. And they're saying, my father didn't do this for me. My father never said, I love you. Sure. And as a consequence, he doesn't tell his kids, I love you. Now you are making your kids suffer for something you didn't get.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
That is how marriage works. If you have not dealt with your past, you're going to hurt the next person. So you must close the chapter. It is important to let go. When the Bible says cleave, you cannot cleave before leaving. And when we say leaving, we usually speak about, we think of, you know, it says men shall leave his father and mother. So we assume that leaving is only leaving people. Leaving mom, leaving my house, leaving my dad. No. Leaving is also leaving past experiences. Past hurts. Closing the chapter. To give the next person a fair chance. Otherwise, if you have not closed off past chapters, you will not be able to benefit from the new chapter that God is giving you.
Wow.
So one of the things for emotional readiness is closing the past and giving the future a fair chance.
And as a person who's not married, I know you're like, I want my past partner to be this and that. You have expectations. You know yourself already.
Yes.
You know what you want. Uh-huh. You know what kids, how many kids you want.
Yes.
You want to work abroad, wherever. Now, tell me, how do you communicate those expectations?
Sure. Expectations need to be communicated. And it forms part of the serious conversations that we spoke about earlier that you need to have. Part of those conversations are expectations need to be laid down on the table. Because a lot of people, what they do is they go into marriage with unrealistic expectations. Because you're thinking, and you're just seeing this man, he looks good, he drives a nice car, and you're thinking, I'm set. I'm going to be treated like a queen. Trips to Dubai, Louis Vuitton bags. So you go into this marriage with your expectations, which you quickly get to find out that they were unrealistic when you get into the marriage, because now the man says, we can't travel. We need to just, tighten the belt a bit. Things are not too good. No, you can't get that bag. No, you can't do this. And now you're thinking, no, this is not what I was expecting. This is not what I thought, I'm getting myself into. That's not the picture that I had about our, forever together type of setup. So if you have these expectations laid out before and you say, this is what I'm looking for or I'm expecting in the marriage, then someone can say, well, this is the reality of it. Then you can quickly balance things out and, erase those unrealistic expectations, because what they do if they're not addressed is now they're putting pressure on that person to live up to the standard that you had already placed. Because now we find a lot of men in marriages that are under pressure. They're struggling. They can't, because there's so much pressure, financial pressure, because now he has to do what the wife is expecting him to do. And he can't. And we have a lot of men that are not breathing in marriages. And we have, this woman to blame who had put so much expectation. Because a man is coming from a place of love, he wants to please this woman. He wants the wife to be happy. So he will try, even though he's struggling. That is why we end up with men that are depressed. That is why we end up with men that are, because men don't talk. But he will say, I'm under pressure because of this woman. Why? Because of the unrealistic expectations that were not addressed before marriage. So it's very crucial that we know what we're getting ourselves into and what we are expecting from one another as well.
It is good to have expectations, obviously.
Yes.
Okay.
It is good to have expectations, but how do we know that they're unrealistic when we have those conversations?
Yes.
If you are judging a person by what you see outside and think he will be able to take me to Dubai every month, it is that's an expectation. But it is when you have a conversation, a serious conversation,
yeah.
and lay out your expectations that you are able to say, "Ish, I think those were unrealistic based on the information that I've
yes.
received."
Mm. Yes.
So to the men out there, single men, do not paint a picture of a fake
yeah. of someone that you're not.
Of someone
yeah.
that you are not. Because
yeah.
men, when they are in pursuit of that lady, they will come pick her up in different cars, but they're not your cars.
Yeah. They borrowed
you're
from
borrowing
friends.
Cars from friends, from yeah. from family members. Mm. Now you are creating an expectation in this lady's mind, thinking, oh, this guy's got money.
Mm.
You're changing cars every day, you're changing this every day, you're posting big houses. Those aren't your things.
Mm.
Be honest and transparent and say, listen, I don't drive.
Mm.
I'm walking.
Mm.
Yeah. Are you okay with that?
Yeah. yeah.
I studied, but I don't have a job yet.
Yeah.
Don't pretend you have this thing because she will find out.
Yeah. Mm.
So once you start having the conversation, then you tell her, listen, this is where I am in life.
Transparency. Mm.
Then she can make a decision yeah. based on the information you gave her.
Mm-hmm.
And he can make a decision based on that information.
Mm. Yeah.
There are people who discover in marriage that they can't have kids because of a condition that they know they have.
Mm-hmm.
Why don't you communicate?
They never shared.
Yeah. They never shared that information. So you have expectations that we're going to have kids as soon as I get married because of my age, we're going to start having kids.
Yeah.
But he knows very well that he's been told by the doctor that he cannot have kids, but he never communicated that to her, and vice versa. Or there's a sickness. Communicate that and say, listen, you know, I'm suffering from this sickness, which could prevent us from having kids.
Yeah.
Then he will make or she will make a decision based on the information you give them.
Yes.
If they discover it in marriage, you can't stand up and say, but you must love me for who I am.
No.
You said for better. No, 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 no.
The
you
foundation,
never.
It was built on lies.
Exactly. Yeah. That relationship was built on lies
built on
because
lies.
You're not transparent about a sickness that you had, a condition you had, your financial situation, and so forth. So that is why expectations are good, but we need to have a serious conversation so that we discover whether they are unrealistic or realistic.
And it's there also with the expectations where you can say, you know what, I love you very much, but after seeing what I'm seeing, what you have said, I'm making the decision that as much as I love you, but I don't see us, you know, being together.
Yes.
There are people that get into marriage and their dreams, they still want to pursue their dreams.
Mm.
They still want to go and, like you said, study, go work overseas. But here's this man saying, no, I want you here. We're going to start a family, look after the kids. Maybe we'll do a little business for ourselves. But it's... You can talk about that
before.
And before and decide that, you know what, we're going separate ways.
Yes.
You know, our visions are not aligned. We are not really agreeing in agreement.
Mm-hmm.
Before we can even go in, let's just stop here.
And if you are both honest, there's no one who will feel like I'm heartbroken. He broke my heart. She broke my heart.
Mm.
You are honest. You know that. No, he's not for me. No,
yes,
no, she's
you
not
need
for
to be
me.
Honest.
Yeah.
A lot of broken marriages or divorces because people fail to be honest with each other from the onset.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's so sad that we have people that come to us and they say, we're ready to get married.
Mm.
We want to get married. And after having a session with them
yes.
and talking to them, we see that these people should not be getting married.
Yeah.
These people are not compatible.
But you know what?
They've made up their minds.
When you tell them, guys, after these counseling sessions, we feel or we see that you are not ready for it. Seldom do we have a couple that says, we will take your advice and wait.
And
never.
Wait. No. And maybe prolong this engagement season.
Mm.
And there is nothing wrong with that.
Mm.
Prolonging to say, you know what? Let's not rush.
Mm.
Let's take more time to work on 1, 2, and 3, just so that we are sure. But it's so unfortunate that people have already made up their minds and they don't want to hear anything. The invitations are out.
But the question is, if you have already made up your mind, why going to a pre-marriage counseling?
But that's what happens.
That's a good observation. But that's exactly what
happens. But reality is...
They come to us knowing that they've already booked the hall, they've got a date for marriage. Invitations are out. Then they're like, we need marriage counseling. But you've made up your mind on what, you know. So everything we say, you've switched off because you're like, we're going ahead. You've asked... you know, couples and say, how do you know that, you know, you're ready for marriage? And they're like, no, God told me. In a dream, I saw visions, I saw signs that she's the one. And then when they get married, they start fighting and they want out. And we say, but Didn't God tell you that this was the one?
So God lied.
So you're going to stay in there.
Yeah, God said it.
Because God didn't lie, you're going to stay in there. But it comes back to what we are saying.
Mm. Yes.
You need to be honest.
You need to be honest. And you need to be honest with God. Because a lot of time we go to God and we've already made up our mind. So we are seeking the face of God, the voice of God, the guidance of God. But you go and say, God, here is John here. God, I want him. He's the one for me. You are now telling God. You are not seeking counsel from God. You've made up your mind.
Yeah.
Even if God shows you, because God speaks, God will show you signs that John is not the one. The red flags will come popping very bright and red. But because you've made up your mind, there's nothing that God can say.
And then you'll go and have a dream about John. You say, God spoke to me. No, you didn't dream about him because God spoke to you. Because you've been thinking about him. You've made up your mind.
Yeah.
When you go to God, you know, one thing we said to each other. When we were dating, we said, we love each other. And it was evident there was love. But we said, we're going to pray.
Yeah.
If God says that you are not the one for me, it will hurt. But rather marry late than marry wrong.
Marry late to the right person than rush to get married to the wrong person.
Sure.
And we were both in agreement. And we started praying. We were fasting. We were praying. And God showed us signs until we felt that, you know what, I know.
It's not an easy prayer. And I think sometimes when you pray and then God shows you, maybe you have a dream where God is showing you, John is doing something. You're like, I'm going to bind that spirit that does not want me to get married. I will, because you already made up your mind that this is John. So even God is warning you in a dream, but you can't even see. Now you're binding demons that are not even there.
And even if God says so, he's the one, she's the one, whatever God gives, you have to work on it.
Yes.
You don't just say, ah, God gave it to me, then I'm going to fold my arms. Everything is going to be fine.
We're God says, all things are possible. Not all things are easy.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So just because it is possible doesn't make it easy. So I agree with you that God can say that she or he is the one.
Yeah.
But it doesn't mean that the road will be easy.
Yes.
Oh, yes.
You can still fight with them. Even though they are the one.
Yes.
You can have disagreement even though they are the one.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
Jesus died on the cross and he chose us and says we are the ones. But you know how many times you've upset him? But because he had made a decision to love us
regardless.
Even when we fight.
Yeah.
You know, he might look at us and say, why are you doing that? But you know what? I'll still love you. Because I've taken a decision to love you. You are the one.
Sure.
So you can find the one, but sometimes you will disagree.
Yes.
Sometimes you will wake up and you don't feel like they are the ones.
Yes.
And that's where we say that love is not a feeling.
It's
a love is a decision. If we had to base our marriages on feelings, some of us will not be married today.
Let us go to an ad break. We are coming back just now.
Awesome.
From your ear to your heart, to your mouth, to your feet. Join this life on 657 AM.
Do you need prayer? Radio Pulpit, in collaboration with Need Pray, is ready to stand in prayer with you. Contact us today with your prayer request at 012-334-1222 or WhatsApp us on 067-429-7564. You can also visit us on radiopulpit.co.za for your online prayer request. We will faithfully pray with you.
Tune in to Radio Pulpit on 657 AM for reliable Christian talk radio at its best. Find your daily dose of Christ-centered motivation and encouragement on Radio Pulpit 657. Download our app now. Tune in to radiopulpit.co.za or find us on DSTV Audio 882 and OpenView 607. Radio Pulpit, your daily companion for more than 40 years, brings a relevant moral alternative to 400,000 listeners in a variety of South African languages. Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, and download our podcasts today.
You and 657 AM and life, a winning team on the road to eternity.